Welcome to season 14 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Catherine, and I am delighted to be joined by my co-host, Laura.
Hello.
This season of the podcast, we're continuing conversations of sharing what is inspiring us on our ongoing story of learning. This week, it's Laura's turn to share, and I'm looking forward to hearing what has been inspiring her.
Well, I am so excited to share, but I also want to hear more from you. Last week, you launched our season so beautifully and shared how to work with almost anyone. You also had a couple of next steps. So how's that going? Any updates for us?
I'm at about 50% on my sure. Now what. So okay, not okay. A great start to the season.
Hey, half done though. So that's good.
Laura, I thought we would have time to schedule our Keystone conversation before today's recording, but that did not work out. However, we will set a date so it's officially on the books, and that will happen.
It's going to happen, and I will take responsibility for perhaps your 50% that did not get done trying to make our schedules align. But I'm so excited to go through that process, and we'll get you to 100%.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for letting me trick you into the now what.
every time.
A more successful now what was that I did make a video for my friend Katie, who was one of my examples of a best possible working relationship. That was a tad awkward, I have to admit, but I got to go into more depth and share what I had learned from our best possible relationship. I'm so happy that now you and my friend Karen and now Katie all know what I learned from our successful working relationships.
Ugh, I love that. And I think you should get full credit just for doing that. Imagine being that recipient who gets a video from a friend just like listing all of the reasons that you were a best working relationship. That is fantastic.
Well, I just received a lovely email back from her. So
I'm sure.
Yes. Well, and then I'm now extending my now what to include our new teammates in a Keystone conversation. We recently had our first small team meeting and a group of four people who've never worked together on the same team before. And I think they will be so receptive to this idea of us each individually holding a Keystone conversation. So that's another stay tuned. And I like that I'm expanding my now what. So maybe bonus points.
Yeah, you need to calm down. I love this idea, again, being one of the four people on that team. I think that will be such a cool way to connect and really start some working relationships. So I love that extension. And yes, bonus points for you as well.
Well, thank you. And this is a long now what.
Sure, I love it.
One additional reflection and extension is that I've noticed that I'm now on the lookout for others unintentionally answering one of the Keystone questions, even if we're not having a Keystone conversation. For example, while I was in a completely different discussion, one person actually answered parts of the steady question, which is, what are your practices and preferences? And this person shared their preferred ways of working and learning. So that gave me some insight and a glimpse of their style.
Okay.
So I'm starting the season with some successes and with the potential of expanding the learning even more. So.
Well, I love that and look forward to being part of those Keystone conversations and just hearing how this continues to impact your thinking. So great share, great expansion.
Well, thank you.
All right. So I want to hear more from you, though. Before I get going with my share for today, do you have a quick win of inspiration for us to share this week?
I am sharing another quick, easy tool that can help with the aesthetics and design of session slides or other materials. And it's a color palette generator called My Color Space. There are so many color palette generators out there from Canva to Adobe, but this one is my latest favorite. So you simply add a single hex color code or choose a color from the site's color picker, and then you get 25 new possible palettes all on one page.
Wow.
As a comparison, the Adobe palette generator provides 9 different palettes, but you have to click through to see each of the different combinations. So, one thing I really loved is that My Color Space doesn't require extra clicks. You can just scroll down and see everything on one page. And then you can bookmark the whole page if you want to keep referring back to those palettes.
Oh, nice.
So I know only a tiny bit about the color wheel and color theory, and the Adobe site shows the color wheel and the traditional palettes generated by locations on that wheel. So ColorSpace, however, generates some similar palettes that look like the real names, like analogous or
Oh,
complementary palettes, but the names are very playful, such as Twisted Spot Palette and Skip Shade Gradient. And a side story, there is a classy palette, which reminded me of Tony Vincent,
Of course.
who is one of my favorite educators. And he teaches online courses called Classy Graphics, Classy Canva. I've taken all of his classes. So I tagged Tony in a tweet about color space, and I pointed out the classy palette, and he said this tool was new for him. He loved it. So if Tony approves of my color space, then I think it's a perfect quick win for us too.
Absolutely, absolutely. A classy palette is perfect. Well, I'm intrigued, and so I will definitely be exploring this. Excellent quick win share. Thanks, Catherine.
Okay, Laura, let's hear from you and your inspiration for the week.
I'm ready.
All right, great. So I'll invite you to consider the what, so what, and now what of your share to guide our conversation. So take it away. First, what is inspiring you to learn this week?
This week, I'm inspired by the idea of transactional versus transformative learning with technology.
I am dying to hear more. So let's pull up our timer and in 60 seconds or less, give us the gist and tell us about transactional versus transformative.
All right, timer activated. Let's go. So, this phrase comes from a June ASCD article titled Differentiated Learning and Technology, a Powerful Combination. And the authors Claire Kilbane and Natalie Millman introduce a new to me framework, the 4 E's of EdTech integration. They also define and break down these ideas of transactional versus transformative learning, as well as thinking about teachers as designers, and specifically designers for differentiation while leveraging the power of technology. Basically, this article combines so many of my favorite ideas into one succinct place, and I find myself coming back to it over and over again. So I wanted to revisit it again here today in our podcast space. Also, how's that? I have 8 seconds to spare. I'm doing
Whoa.
it. I don't think I've ever achieved 60 seconds or less, so I'm feeling very accomplished already.
What a terrific summary and record time. That's
Thank you. Thank you.
fantastic. Okay, well, when you had the sentence designers differentiating and leveraging the power of technology, I was hooked. So I cannot wait to hear more. And let's dive a little deeper and tell us more to answer so what about the idea of transformative learning with tech that is inspiring you.
Okay, I thought you might be intrigued. I try to make my summary a little bit more clickbaity, if you will, to put in
Yes.
all of the words that I knew that would get you hooked. So I'm glad to hear that it worked.
It worked. It worked.
Let me tell you more. So what about this is inspiring me? Have you ever encountered something and your immediate reaction is to ask, "Where has this been all of my life?"
Oh my goodness, yes, all the
Okay.
time.
Yes, this was me specifically at the end of June when this article was published, and it was mere days after I completed my last summer session offering of a session called Own Your Own Learning Tech Tool Tasting. But instead of just lamenting the lack of its existence in my life, weeks, or again, days earlier. I read this and I felt excited. So I read this article a few times, and each time I did, I just felt so validated, so empowered, so curious, and truly so inspired. And while, yes, I absolutely could have used many of the quotes or the framework that's shared here to really enhance my summer sessions, I love that this article exists. I love that it explains big and important ideas so succinctly, and I love that I can use it and share it going forward.
Laura, your words, validated, empowered, curious, inspired, those have me beaming, because that's where I want all educators to be and feel. And when you can do this with technology, how that can empower all of this as well, I think this is a true winner. So I cannot wait to hear more. And I will admit that when I first saw what you were sharing, I clicked on the link to look at the article, and I nearly had to ask for a pause for the recording so I could go and read everything. And like,
excellent.
So I am so excited. Now, you are mentioning the four E's. We both love any kind of framework. So
absolutely. So
let's dig into that. So tell us a little bit more about the 4E framework.
Okay, so I want to start by saying that there are many frameworks that exist, particularly when we talk about tech integration in the classroom and really that why behind using it and just shifting our mindsets to do so to begin with. And so I know the SAMR model has been around for quite a while. It's one that I used heavily many years ago when I got to do a lot of work with districts that were going Google or participating in a one-to-one device pilot. There's also the 4 C's of tech integration that are pretty standard, and you might hear me talk about them later in a moment. However, I was really excited to read about this framework of the 4 E's and particularly their relevance today. I'll kind of go out on a limb to say that maybe 10-ish years ago, I think SAMR and this meaningful tech integration were just big conversations that were happening with frequency. And we spent a lot of time as instructional leaders and professional learning facilitators on why we would even want to incorporate tech in the first place and how it could really serve to enhance and even reimagine learning with students before diving into those ins and outs of tech tools to use. Now, fast forward to 2023, we've come a long way, but I think we're also back to revisiting that why, that purpose, that meaning. We've got a lot of new educators in the field. We've also got a lot more access, devices, tools at our disposal in many, not all, but many of our districts. We've also got this kind of collective recovery from some of the less than best practices that we were all a part of in the all tech all the time pandemic times. So we kind of have this pendulum swing thing that is happening. And I think a lot of educators have really backed way off of tech after the past few years. But at the same time, meaningful tech use can do so many things. And it is, as ever, an exciting time to be alive. So, kind of bringing it all together here, the authors close the article by saying, as teachers transition out of the reactive methods that enabled them to succeed during the pandemic, they'll benefit from reconsidering the technology in the context of differentiation. And that enables them to proactively design experiences that respond to students' unique and diverse needs and promotes transformational learning.
Laura, so many great reminders of, like you said, pendulum swing. And I think that we have all felt that from our teachers, especially the past few months. And I am so glad that these authors have really considered this post-pandemic learning and feelings. So I am really excited now to hear about those 4 E's. So good background, but let's go on to the framework.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't answer your question at all. But all of that to say, and maybe a small tangent aside, I really think that having a framework for the why of tech integration is exactly what we need right now. So let me actually tell you about it. The four E's, which can help determine whether a tool might make learning more equitable, efficient, effective, and engaging, and move us from transactional to more transformative learning. Mm-hmm. So let's go over just a little bit with each of those E's. The first is equitable. And so when we are considering using or incorporating a tool, considering, does the use of a certain technology promote more equitable opportunities without adding additional barriers? I love that we start with equity, and I love the phrasing of considering, okay, is this essentially for the greater good? Is this going to be helpful, or are we just causing more barriers to the learning? The second E is efficient. Does using the tool save time, energy, or other resources? Is it effective? Does the technology make learning more effective for all or some of our students? And then finally, engaging. Does the technology stimulate students' attention and motivation? Which, what a great question to go back to, engaging, stimulating students' attention and motivation. So the authors immediately follow up introducing these four E's by saying it is important to remember that the goals of instruction, particularly thinking about differentiated instruction, should drive the design of learning experiences and technology's integration within it. So of course, we're not doing tech for tech's sake, and we're really driving what we're doing by those goals of instruction. And I think this perfectly sums up so much of what you and I both share and practices that are really ingrained in our own incorporation of tech use in sessions. But I love that this article exists and can really be used as that third point of reference to share. I also know that we both give shout outs to the sources of inspiration of where our thinking comes from when we present or have conversations with educators. And I think so many of the existing sessions that I have or sessions to come would really work nicely to have this article just perfectly support the information that I'm sharing, as well as be a good kind of more to explore read to share. It goes into good detail of walking through a couple of examples of going through that 4E thought process using a few different types of tools or activities, which again, I think is a great fit for exploring more. I could also see using this framework as part of one of these time out for transparency or kind of behind the scenes conversations at the end of the session or after using a tool, just to kind of model framing my own thinking of why I've chosen to use a particular tool. And as I'm saying this, I think I am writing my now what next steps as we go.
Oh, I love that. And I'm really thinking now of this whole journal is the culmination, I think, of ISTE and ASCD's uniting of forces. And this kind of thinking is exactly what I hope for. Here is how meaningful tech can empower learning with the best pedagogical strategies and standards out there. So what a beautiful melding of entities and brains. And, oh, okay. So I am still so inspired and my mind is whirring and buzzing. So let's hear more about the title of the inspiration today, Transactional versus Transformative Learning.
So this part really gets to the heart of teachers and educators as designers and really naming, thinking about the purpose of the lessons that we design. How do we differentiate for our learners, and how are we designing learning experiences that are really transformative and not just transactional? So from the get-go, this phrasing really caught my attention, and I know we love a common vocabulary. So let's walk through through what transactional and transformative learning look and sound like. So the authors say that transactional learning involves the exchange of ideas and information between teachers and students, where the focus is knowledge transmission and acquisition, which has traditionally been the primary goal of learning. They also point out that technology is often used to support this type of learning, like incorporating some multimodal elements in a lecture or a teach piece that you're doing, or recording your teach pieces so that you can provide learners with captions or the ability to rewatch or slow down that piece of learning. But the shift to learning that is transformative happens when we consider the impact and the outcomes of the learning. So they also say that even though that transactional learning is necessary, valuable, and an efficient means for building the foundational understandings that students require for new learning, teachers also want to design this transformational learning experiences. And so these experiences foster students' capacity for creativity, collaboration, communication, critical thinking, cognitive flexibility, complex problem solving, and curiosity. Often at the same time, students are acquiring basic knowledge. These capacities are increasingly emphasized in curriculum standards built around the recognition that to be prepared for life, citizenship, and work, students must have the ability to apply knowledge, not merely possess it.
Oh, yes, for sure.
I'm going to sit with that for a moment, because that was a lot of things, hearing the echo of those original four C's. I loved the addition of the cognitive flexibility and that complex problem solving, and really bringing it together, acknowledging that we can teach in ways that are transformational while also acquiring that basic skill, knowledge, and base, and really just shifting from students going beyond possessing knowledge to really applying it. And so, I don't know, reading this, I felt, again, seen and inspired and curious. So good thinking on transformative and transactional. So I also really like the way that this article specifically names that transformation that happens not only in the learning process, but also in students' beliefs, understandings, and actions. So I got another banger quote that I think really resonated with me and highlights a lot of the work that we aspire to share. And so they say, as students transition from being passive recipients of information to active creators of knowledge, they gain a new awareness of their agency and the dynamics of learning, understandings that better equip them for their future. Do you see why I needed this article in my life, and specifically all summer long?
Absolutely. I think we need to share this link with educators everywhere. So, yes. Oh my goodness. Yes.
So these are the big picture pieces, and I don't really know that I have time to get into it. I'm going to get too excited and then just like end up reading the entire article. But from there, after really breaking down this idea of, okay, transformative learning with technology, the article goes into a lot of detail and examples of how technology really can provide us those opportunities that truthfully we've never had before, and can really provide that true differentiation for all types of learners. I'll bring it all together with one more quote here. They say, while technology's inclusion might respond to students' need to make learning more equitable, efficient, effective, or engaging, its involvement is not limited to this. Rather, the introduction of a digital tool into the learning experience can help students learn more, learn different things, and change how they think about themselves and the world around them. So, like I said at the top, each time I read this, like truly every quote brings me excitement. I feel seen, and I really feel inspired to share this thinking with others, particularly as we think about just leveraging technology, recovering from the pandemic, all tech all the time, to really provide these transformative learning experiences for our students.
Laura, you have chosen the most perfect way to start the season with these ideas and this article, and I am feeling so excited and inspired and ready to act as well. So, wonderful, wonderful selection. So what else do you want to tell us before we wrap up? I think you could go on all day.
I could.
But we'll save a little bit for the listener to figure out some more. Yeah.
Sure. So a couple of things. First, yeah, I feel like I was a little quote heavy in this share, but their phrasing is so great. I'm just like, here are the words as written. But a couple of other things. At the end of the article, there are three reflect and discuss questions. And I really like this kind of trend right now. I think I've mentioned a couple of times, I'm really into books right now that ask you a reflective question and you can write in the book or whatever. But I really liked that they pulled out these three questions. And one is, do you see yourself as a designer when you're crafting lessons? And I think we could go a long way with this particular question. Also, there's a question about how could you use that 4E model to evaluate the tech tools that you're using and maybe use them in more helpful ways. And then walking through the practice of, okay, think about a tech tool you've recently used and really break down, okay, was it transactional? Was it transformative? And is there any way that you could use it differently? So I liked them bringing it together with some reflection questions at the end there.
We're all about the reflection, so.
Really are. Give a framework, a reflection, I'm sold.
Yeah, that's right.
And then finally, I just wanted to do a plug to say that this article came from the June edition of ASCD's EL magazine. That's a ton of letters. But the theme of this month's magazine was deepening learning with technology. And there are so many great and relevant articles in this group. There's so many about connection and the purpose of learning, what's best for kids, AI. There's lots of really good articles in this magazine. So this edition is also entirely free and just a great series of reads. So I'll be sure to share the link to that in the show notes as well.
Laura, thank you so much for bringing this beautiful article and idea to the podcast, to my attention. Like I said, when I started scanning, I just needed to stop and read.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to dig in more carefully and look at the whole magazine. I think there are so many wonderful ideas there. So let's move on to launch some further thinking and next steps for applying what we share and consider the now what. So Laura, now what? What's next for you and transformative learning with tech?
So first of all, I really do plan on utilizing the 4E framework to consider my own implementation of tech tools and will certainly share this framework with educators. I know that you and I have both had several opportunities just over the past year or so to partner with schools to consider this idea of meaningful technology integration and the use of device and tools. And so I think framing the adoption or the use of a tool using these E's, as well as that language of transformative and transactional, is extremely relevant. And again, having that article for that third point of reference and the one that I wish that I had in my back pocket all summer is a good fit for those conversations. I'm also thinking about more intentionally incorporating this language in my sessions, really to just model my own thinking after we use a tool, kind of like a quick behind the scenes, or again, that timeout for transparency share. And I think I need to get into a better habit of doing this more consistently, because just because I have vetted a tool or I have chosen to use it for a specific purpose doesn't really mean that my audience recognizes that move or the intention behind it or is even familiar with the tool. And so I think I do this sporadically. Catherine, I know you are really good at doing this, but I'm thinking about a missed opportunity that I had just yesterday, actually, with a coaching meetup that I facilitated. We were using the tool Padlet as a place for this communal curation of our conversation shares and resources. And while I spent a lot of time setting up the purpose of sharing as curation, I don't think I even mentioned the tool itself beyond sharing a link to access it. And I actually had somebody pull me aside. They were new to our group to say, you know, like, what is this? I've never seen this tool before. Mm-hmm. And in the moment, I just said, oh, this is Padlet. This is how you add a post. And then I kind of walked away. But had I included a quick 4E's rundown of why I had chosen Padlet mm-hmm. over maybe something else as a curation mm-hmm. tool that I could have shared whole group or even with this one individual, I think that interaction would have been so mm-hmm. much more meaningful. Mm-hmm. So oops. And having this framework to model my own vetting of tools is a practice that I really want to get into the habit of doing more regularly. So stay tuned for that as a habit shift for me.
Well, great reflection. And I think because of, like you said earlier, this pendulum swing post-pandemic, mm-hmm. all of the new teachers are new mm-hmm. to the roles. It is so important to have that think aloud when we're mm-hmm. talking yeah, about the yeah. tool. And like you said, this 4E model gives us that language mm-hmm. and the framework to share and to touch on. So excellent, Now What's, and I love these ideas and you're inspiring me. I will do likewise.
Cool.
We'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a moment to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider, what have you heard today to spark your interest or inspire further thinking about transformative learning with tech?
You may also find us online at Dig Learn Radio to continue the conversation and share what's inspiring you this week.
This season, we're dedicated to sharing our learning and the things that are inspiring us. We hope that when we share, the conversation and ideas will cultivate curiosity and inspire you to explore one of the resources, reflect on a question we've asked, or continue your own learning journey.
We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen and her work in the New Pillars of Modern Teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. Let's continue learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get inspired.